So our scripture passage this morning comes from the book of Philemon. And I had a debate with a friend of mine this past week of how to pronounce the name of that book. All my life, I've said Philemon. And he looked at me and says, "You say what?" And I said, "Philemon." He said, "It's Philemon." I went, "Not Philemon, it's Philemon." And so we had a good debate over this. So, I mean, I looked it up and see how it's pronounced in French, because I speak some French. I actually went to the Greek New Testament and looked at it, and I went, well, the E is definitely a long E, but that I is debatable of whether that's a short I or a long I. So be that as it may, I grew up saying Philemon, and that's exactly what I'm going to say this morning. And we can talk later, and we can compare notes. But before I open God's word for us this morning, let me share this story with you. In the movie The Color Purple, the character Sophia, played by Oprah Winfrey, spends several years incarcerated in jail for a very minor offense. She struck a white person. That's all she did. And she spent several years in jail for it. And when she's released from prison, she's a broken woman who can barely function in life. And Sophia's mistress casually hands her a shopping list to fill. Now, the lead character in the movie, Celie, played by Oprah Winfrey, is a woman who's also endured a lot of suffering and pain in her life. And she sees Sophia with her grocery list staring at the shelves. And she understands her vulnerability. And so she protects Sophia by quietly filling the grocery order for her. Now, months later, when Sophia begins to awaken from her deep trouble, she says, "I wants to thank you, Miss Celie, for everything you done for me. I remember that day in the store. I was feeling really down. I was feeling mighty bad. But when I sees you, I knows there is a God. I knows there is a God. And one day I knew I was going to get to go home." Well, this morning I'm going to take us through the book of Philemon, and you're going to see how similar it is to this quote from the movie The Color Purple. So I'm reading from what I call now the old NIV, and I hope the words are the same as they are up there. If they're a word or two off, it won't be that much different. So I'm going to read from the book of Philemon, the whole chapter. It's only one chapter long. "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, Paul, as an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of God endures forever. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So let me take us through our story of Philemon this morning and a bit of the background here. So Philemon was an elder in the church in Colossae, from where we get the book of Colossians. The church met in their home, and Philemon's wife, Apphia, and another fellow named Archippus are also mentioned here in the book of Philemon. And Philemon owned a slave, and the slave's name was Onesimus. And so just to give us a bit of this context, I'm going to read for us just a few verses from the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, and then verses 17 to 18. This is the very end of the book of Colossians. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. This is Paul writing. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Then skipping down to verse 17. Tell Archippus this. See to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, am writing this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. So Philemon's name is not mentioned in the book of Colossians, but Onesimus is, and so is Archippus. So this Archippus likely had some sort of ministry role in the church, in the Colossian church. He was probably their pastor. So here we have this Onesimus, Philemon's slave, and he's run away, Philemon, verse 18 tells us, and probably has stolen from his master. Because Paul says, if anything is owed to you, charge it to him. See, he probably stole from his master, likely to fund his getaway. And here's Onesimus, and he's fled, and he's found his way to Rome. But while he's there, something miraculous happens, something Onesimus hadn't counted on. He encounters the Apostle Paul, and Paul mentors this man and leads him gloriously to faith. And as much as Paul wants to keep him there with him, nevertheless, he thinks it's right to send Onesimus back home again to his master, Philemon. And he says to him, it's time to go home. Hence the first part of my title of my message this morning. I struggled a long time with the title this morning. And here we have in the book of Philemon is a letter written to Philemon to secure this welcome for this runaway slave. And you have to realize, by all intents and purposes, Philemon would be well within his rights to have Onesimus executed upon his return. He ran away from his master, he stole from his master, and now he's going to get home, and he's going to get it. To borrow an action from my mother when I was a kid, and I knew if I didn't do as she said that I was going to get it. Some of you, you're laughing. Some of you have heard that before. See, I've set this stage for us this morning, because here's Onesimus, and now he's going home. So now that we have that, Paul starts the book of Philemon the way he does many of his epistles, with glowing words of praise for the work being done in the Lord. Verse 4 starts out, "I thank my God always as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Now, you know, knowing what's coming, it's like a movie where, you know, it builds and it builds and it builds. Part of me thinks that Paul's trying to butter Philemon up a little bit here, saying how much he loves him and all the work that he's doing. Because then we get to verse 8, and it says, "Although I could in Christ be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, Paul, as an old man, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he's become useful to you and to me, and I'm sending him back to you." Paul says he could order Philemon to do it, but he's asking it as a favor, because he knows the love that they share, Paul and Philemon. And Paul says, you know, he used to be useless to you, but now he's been useful to me, and he's going to be useful to you again now, Philemon. And just so you know, in Greek, the name Onesimus actually does mean useful. And verse 13 says, "I would like to keep him with me, but I'm sending him back to you." He's saying to Onesimus, it's time to go home. Let me continue on here. Verses 15 and 16. "Perhaps the reason why he was separated from you for a little while is that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave, excuse me, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He has been very dear to me, but he's dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord." So Onesimus is going home, not as a slave, but as a brother, to continue the work that was started by Paul in that Colossian church. See, the book of Philemon has two themes in it. The first is reconciliation. Now, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines the verb reconcile as to restore to friendship or harmony. Now, brothers and sisters, hear me well. If Onesimus were to go back to Philemon merely as a slave, that would not be reconciliation. Paul takes reconciliation very seriously. If time allowed, but it would not, I could take us to passages in Corinthians and Thessalonians and Romans where Paul talks about being reconciled to God, and how Scripture commands us as believers to be reconciled one to another. But when I think of reconciliation, one Bible story comes to me more clearly than any other. The story of the prodigal son. Well, there he was, far from home, far away country, and there's a Jewish boy feeding pigs. And he realized that all of his father's servants had food to spare, and there he was in this distant land, And he's starving. And he thinks to himself, it's time to go home. And he did. And he picks himself up and off he goes. And Luke's gospel tells us that while he was still far off, the father saw him, was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son no longer thought himself worthy to be called a son. He was willing to be a slave just as long as he could go home. But he was restored to his place as a son, and he was reconciled with his father. Do you see how similar that is with the story of Philemon and Onesimus? Onesimus was Philemon's slave. He'd run away from home, and he came to faith, and Paul tells him it's time to go home. The gospel had completely changed Onesimus' life. No doubt, as it had in Paul's life on that Damascus road, as the gospel changes all of our lives, it always does. And that is why Paul is confident that Philemon will indeed welcome Onesimus back home. You see, brothers and sisters, no matter how far we wander, no matter what we've done, how perverse our sin, God is patiently waiting and calls each one of us lovingly and says, my son, my daughter, when are you coming home? Been there, done that. I know what it's like. Times in my life when I have been so far from God, and then I hear his loving voice saying, my son, when are you coming home? But let me move on to the second theme in the book of Philemon, and that is forgiveness. Or as I will call it, the debt that cannot be repaid, which is the second part of the title of our message. Look with me at verses 17 through 19 again. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him home, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he's done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. Paul asks Philemon to receive Onesimus home as if he were Paul. Paul takes his apostolic status as an apostle of Christ and places it on Onesimus. Paul is asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus and welcome him home regardless of what he's done. No matter what it is, Paul said, I will pay you back. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, second letter to the Corinthians, reads, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might be called the righteousness of God. Now, before I continue with that thought, I want to tell you about a woman I love very dearly. I grew up in a traditional Presbyterian church in the Niagara region. My father is still attending this church now. Well, back when I was in my early teens, there was a family that attended this church, and their last name was Champagne. And their family befriended mine, and the mother of the family, Bonnie Champagne, befriended me. Now, this family did not stay very long at the Presbyterian church. They ended up at the Pentecostal church across town. Well, in April of 1984, this Pentecostal church put on a drama called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And if you've ever seen it, it shows several different minor scenes where a Christian and a non-Christian are having a conversation. And in some of the cases, the non-believer is converted to faith. Then suddenly, there is an accident or some kind of catastrophic event, and the participants are killed. And they wake up, and they're standing in front of a group of angels at the gates of heaven. And they present their names one by one, and one of the angels at the very top of the podium starts looking through the names of the Book of Life, and if the name is there, the angels all raise their arms in victory like this, the gates of heaven open and the soul goes in. If not, there's ominous music, the stage is bathed in a dark red glow, demons show up and drag the kicking and screaming soul into hell. It's very much a scare tactic drama. But nevertheless, the gospel is clearly presented throughout the evening. And at the end of the drama, there's an altar call. And many people, myself included, went forward to accept Christ. And people would come and pray for us individually. Well, Bonnie Champagne was playing one of the angels. She made a beeline for me. She grabbed my hand and she said, "You come with me, Joey Bowman. I've been praying for you for 2 years." Warning, warning, warning. Do not call me that. The only people that still have the right to call me Joey are 90-year-old women at that Presbyterian church back in Port Colborne. But I tell you this story because when it comes right down to it, I owe this woman my very life. Just like Paul is telling Philemon at the end of verse 19. You see, brothers and sisters, each one of us in this room owes a debt to someone that cannot be repaid. We owe our souls to some earthly person who led us to faith in Christ. Perhaps it was our Christian parents, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a friend, somebody who loved us and cared for us and prayed for us and led us into a relationship with Christ. If any of you here did not grow up in a Christian home, you'll especially know what I'm talking about. We owe them a debt, one that cannot be repaid. In Paul's book to the Romans, we read, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, Christ died for us even when we were still in unrepentant sin. And he took our sins upon himself on the cross. Going back to Philemon for a moment here. Paul asks Philemon to welcome Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a full brother in Christ, so that the work in the Colossian church could continue. A slave could not do that, but a fellow brother, a fellow worker in Christ could. There needed to be that reconciliation. There needed to be that forgiveness. Every year on the civic holiday weekend in August, I get to go back home to that Presbyterian church, and I get to do pulpit supply in that church. I've been doing it for 9 years now. And a couple years ago, my message one Sunday morning was all about the things of who we are in Christ and who God is to us. And I started out by saying that we are clay and that God is the potter and that we are sheep, stupid, helpless sheep, and that God is our shepherd, that we are slaves, servants, and God is our master. But then I go on and make it clear that we are no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters. When it comes to our relationship with Christ, we are no longer slaves. We're sons and daughters. We're forgiven. We're reconciled. And Onesimus was Paul's spiritual son. He loves this man, and now he's sending him back to Onesimus. Our passage said, "Although I could order you to do this, I know because of our love, you will do this for me." And then we get to that line, "Not to mention you owe me your very self." Part of me thinks it sounds like an ultimatum. Here's Paul sending Onesimus back to Philemon, who he calls his very heart and says, "I could order you to do this, but I know you're going to do it because of love." And then we get through the entire book of Philemon. At the end it says, "Oh, by the way, don't forget now, you owe me your very self." But this is not an ultimatum, my friends, not at all. Because verse 21 goes on to say, "Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask." Because keep in mind here, Paul is sending a letter to Philemon, asking him to welcome Onesimus back. And who's delivering it? Onesimus himself. And then we get to the very end. And Paul says, oh, and one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you, to your prayers. And I think to myself, just for a brief moment, oh, great. So now Paul's going to come and visit. Now he wants to check up and make sure that Onesimus and Philemon have followed through. No. He loved Philemon, and he loved Onesimus, and Paul was certain that there was going to be restoration, reconciliation, and forgiveness. You know, when I hear that line, and one more thing, it makes me think of the former CEO of Apple, Steve Jobs. And he'd give a keynote address about all the things going on at Apple, and he was finished his address, and he'd start to leave the platform, and there'd be great applause. And then he'd stop. And up on the screen would be the words, one more thing. And then there'd be a new product or something that's coming out. After the first few times that he did it, it could almost be expected that he was going to do it. And if he didn't, there'd be great disappointment. So now here's Paul saying, and one more thing. It's Paul's desire to go back to Colossae. It's Paul's desire to see this reconciliation and forgiveness for himself. And Paul is certain that this is going to happen. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, I say to you again, all of us in this room who have trusted Christ and our Savior owe a debt, one that cannot be repaid. If you're familiar with the chorus, Lord, I lift your name on high, the chorus goes like this. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Even as Jesus hung on that cross, carrying the sins of the whole world to the point where God the Father couldn't even look at him anymore, Jesus still looked out at the crowd and said, forgive him, forgive them. And brothers and sisters, we this morning are all a forgiven people. We are broken people, we are sinners, but we have been forgiven, washed by the blood of the Lamb, alive in the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday. So brothers and sisters, if we have been loved, if we have been forgiven, while yet still in our sins, we too must love one another, forgive one another, and be reconciled with each other, just in no doubt what was going to happen between Onesimus and Philemon. The Color Purple is a very sad movie. There's rejection, there's betrayal, there is hatred, there is infidelity, there is rape and incest. It's a dark, dark, sad movie. But at the end of the film, the characters have undergone great transformation. And changes in their relationships have begun to heal. And there's a grand reunion of all the characters. And at the end of the movie, there is indeed reconciliation and forgiveness. And that is the story of Philemon and Onesimus. And it's our story as well. God has taken his great big rubber stamp and put it on the stain of sin in our lives, and it says, paid in full. Our debt has been paid in full, paid for by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us therefore live our lives in this grand truth. It's time to come home. We have been reconciled. We have been forgiven. We are no longer slaves. We are sons and daughters. We are joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, through your blood, you have indeed paid for our sins in full. You have reconciled us to yourself. Father God, you have called us home. You have called us out of our sin and back into a loving and right relationship with you. And Lord, when we continue to stumble and trip and fall and walk away from you, you are faithful and you keep calling back to us, son, daughter, come home. So Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, work, continue the work in each of our lives that we would strive to serve you in all that we say and do. Lord Jesus, we pray these things in your precious name. Amen.
Please join me in our congregational prayer. Dear Lord, what a privilege it is to come before you, knowing there is no one like you, that you know us like no other, and we can rely on you at all times. Help us, Lord, to find your goodness in this world around us, to share that with those around us, that they too may see your goodness in us. We find your comfort in the knowledge that you are there for us, providing us with all things that we stand in need of. I pray, Lord, for those who are seeing change in their lives, that they can be wrapped in your arms. I pray, though, for those who have unspoken needs, those who can't put a finger on what it is that they need, but know that they need help, and those who are searching, who don't know the opportunity that they have to trust in you and feel comforted. We pray especially today for Ken Gittins, that this week's surgery may go well. Bless the hands that will be touching his body. We pray for the Hogeveen family, that memories can be shared and that you may be central to filling the gap that now exists in their lives. We pray for John and Nell, as they deal with the upcoming change in their lives, that you may give them strength. I pray for all our seniors, Lord, that their decreased independence doesn't dampen their dependence on you. I pray for everyone in our congregation, Lord, that we may be in one community, that we may celebrate together, that we may enjoy the benefits that you give us of membership in your church. I thank you for your mercy and your grace and for always being there when we need you. May those who look notice that we live our lives differently because we love you, and may we hold fast to you in all the days you give us. We pray this in your name. Amen.